And we'll read from verse 7.
This Psalm 139 is a psalm of David. And David asks the question, very important question. He says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? And what David recognizes is that the Holy Spirit is everywhere. There is no place in the universe where the Spirit of God is not present. He's everywhere. The Holy Spirit is present here right now, but he's also present right now in Hong Kong. He's also present right now in Nigeria, in India, in Afghanistan, in Iraq. He's present everywhere. And David recognizes that he says in verse 8 of Psalm 139, if I go up to the heavens, you're there. You are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like day, for darkness is a light to you. And so the Holy Spirit, remember, in the temple, in the tabernacle, the Holy Spirit is represented by the candlestick, you know, with the seven lamps. And why? Because he brings light. The light of God comes into every context when the Holy Spirit is present. There cannot be darkness when the Holy Spirit is present. The Holy Spirit illuminates even in the darkest night, the deepest dungeon. There, when the Holy Spirit works in a believer's heart, there's light enough to show the way that man might walk in the knowledge and in the wisdom that God provides. There is no darkness that can hide the light of God. There is no darkness that can snuff out, that can extinguish the lamp of God. There is none. And so the Holy Spirit coming into every context, David says, where can I go? It doesn't matter where I go, you're there. It doesn't matter what mountain I climb, what sea, what valley I'm in. It doesn't matter. You're there beside me. And not just that, you will guide me. You will lead me. You will instruct me. The presence of God, the Holy Spirit of God, is everywhere. He's present everywhere. Now, what the Bible says and teaches us is that the Spirit of God, that you and I, that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And this is important. Where does the Holy Spirit dwell at this point in time? Well, the Holy Spirit is present everywhere, but the Holy Spirit also wants to be what? He wants to be present in our hearts and in our lives. The Holy Spirit wants to be present in everything we do. So we're told by Paul that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Meaning that the Spirit of God dwells within you. So we've already looked at it early on, haven't we? That when you became a Christian, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. Is that right? So when you became a Christian, if you're nervous about the Holy Spirit, it's too late. Because when you became a Christian, he already came into your heart. So when you became a Christian, God put a mark, a seal upon you, saying, you're mine. The promised Holy Spirit. So the minute you became a Christian, the Spirit of God already was deposited in your heart. You've got the Holy Spirit dwelling in you already. You're a Christian. You're a believer. If you're born again, the Spirit of God is in you. If you're not yet a Christian, today you can make a decision to become a Christian. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've never accepted Jesus into your heart, today you can You can ask God to forgive you of your sins, and you can accept Jesus into your heart. There's no reason why you can't do that. If you recognize that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and my sins, and you ask him to forgive you, you repent of your sins, then you can become a Christian as well. Jesus on the cross opened the door to salvation for everybody who would repent, who would ask for forgiveness of their sins. You can become a child of God today like the other children of God in this room. And so the Holy Spirit, when you became a Christian, came into your heart. You already have him if you're a child of God. This is wonderful. It means everywhere you go, you have the Holy Spirit. Now, I know Graham, but Graham doesn't go everywhere with me. We're good friends, but you know, he doesn't come and stay in my house. He doesn't stay in my house overnight. He's got his own house. I think if he was with me all the time, his wife might be upset and say, "Why is Graham with Yinka everywhere? He's, you know, what's going on?" Graham is my friend. I choose to spend time with him. I actually love spending time with. I find Adrian very funny, and I find Graham very. They're both funny in different ways, but you know, they're just wonderful people. I really miss Wilson. Wilson's away in Hong Kong at the moment. Wilson's also very funny in a different way as well. I just love fellowshipping with my brothers. But the Holy Spirit doesn't just want to have a friendship in which every so often you have a coffee together or you have a tea together and you catch up. No. The Holy Spirit wants to be with you all the time. All the time. God is a Father who never leaves you. Did Jesus not say, "I will never leave you or forsake you"? Did Jesus say this? "I will never leave you or forsake you"? When God our Father sent the Holy Spirit, it was part of the fulfillment of the promise of Jesus that he would never leave us or forsake us. So, Graham is not with me all the time, but the Holy Spirit is. But if the Holy Spirit is with me, how will he work within me? How does he operate in my life, in my heart? Well, we know from Scripture that the Holy Spirit is someone that Jesus relied on in his ministry. It says in Jesus' ministry, I want to just find it for you. Turn to Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. If you have your Bibles, Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. We know that when Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus. And God the Father spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased." What a wonderful accolade from the Father to his Son. And then we see in Jesus' ministry, Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. So the Holy Spirit was present in Jesus' ministry. And because the Holy Spirit was present in the ministry of Christ, he was able, although he was fully man, he was able to perform miracles, signs, and wonders because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember that when Jesus came and was born as a man, as a little baby, he was fully human like you and I are fully human. The Bible says that he emptied himself of everything, everything. Became fully man. So when Jesus was here on earth, the Son of God, when he was here, unless God gave him the power, he could do nothing that we could not do. He didn't rely on his divinity to walk on earth. He relied on his humanity. He came to show us how human beings should live in the presence of and in the light of the divine will. So Jesus, being fully man, relied on the Holy Spirit to give him the power he needed to do the signs and wonders and miracles, showing us how to live. He taught his disciples the same thing. He taught his disciples, stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. Wait for the promised Holy Spirit. And the disciples, they stayed, they prayed, they waited. And then the Father sent the Holy Spirit on all the disciples. And they began to perform miracles and signs and wonders. This is not a strange thing. This is what the Bible tells us that Jesus wanted to do. Now, we are not Jesus. There's only one Jesus. But he came to teach us how to live. And so we understand and we see that Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. So what is the impact of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives? What can we expect with the Holy Spirit present within us and around us? Well, the presence of the Holy Spirit provides for us, first of all, John chapter 16 and verse 7. The first thing the Holy Spirit does when you allow him, you know, so you've got the Holy Spirit inside of you, but you can ignore him. Is there anybody you've ever ignored in your life? Is there anybody that maybe tried to talk to you and you kind of think, I don't want to talk to that person, I'm going to ignore them. Have you ever done that? If you've ever done that, give me a wave. No. It's okay. So the Holy Spirit's with us, but we don't always listen to him. We don't always listen to what he wants to say to us. We don't take the time to stop. Remember, when it came upon Jesus, he came like a dove. So the Holy Spirit is not going to twist your hand up your back and make you do anything. He's not going to do that. If you want to listen to him, he'll speak to you. If you don't want to listen to him, he won't say anything. I mean, he'll try and speak to you, but he won't force you to accept anything he says. He'll not take away your free will. God will never take anybody's free will away. So I have to choose to listen to him. I have to make a decision that I want to hear the Holy Spirit speaking into my life. I have to give him permission to speak to me. Why? Because God will never force us to listen. Now, those of you who are married will know that sometimes your husband or your wife will want you to listen to something they've got to say. And when they feel you're not listening, they will take the remote control and they will put the television off. And then they will say, can I have your attention, please? And you will think, I'm in trouble. What have I done? And it might be something important that you've not been listening. And they want to make sure. And they'll say, have I got your attention, please? Does that happen to anybody else apart from the pastor? But the Holy Spirit will not do that to you. He will not make you listen. He will not force you to listen. He will ask you to listen, but he will not make you. And so the Holy Spirit, his first job, if we're listening, is he wants to convict us. John chapter 16, verse 7, he wants to convict us of sin. If there are things in your life that God is not happy with, the Holy Spirit wants to show you what they are. This is what the presence of the Holy Spirit brings. You wonder why it is that some people don't like to talk about the Holy Spirit? Some people don't want to talk about him? The Holy Spirit is God. We must talk about the Holy Spirit. He's God. We must talk about him. He's the third person of the Trinity. We must talk about the Holy Spirit. It's not God the Father, God the Son, and God the Bible. No. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who takes the Bible and applies it to our lives. So some people, you want to know why some people don't like talking about the Holy Spirit? Because when he comes, if there's something wrong in your life, he will point it out to you and tell you, this is wrong. You need to repent. You need to stop. This is not pleasing or honoring to God. So, it's like having your husband or your wife with you all the time, watching your behavior, telling you you're supposed to be a man of God or a woman of God. You shouldn't be behaving like this. Has anybody ever had a husband or wife tell them they should be more godly? Every so often my wife will say, you're a pastor. Behave like one. You're a Christian. Behave like one. This is important. So the Holy Spirit brings conviction. And sometimes people don't want to be told what they're doing wrong in their life. They don't want to. They don't want to know. When I go shopping, my wife is very kind to me. When we go shopping, she knows I don't like going shopping. So she'll make me come for 20 minutes. She'll say, okay, let's go. 20 minutes, then you can go and sit down and have a coffee. So I'll walk around smiling. Yes, nice dress. Oh, yes, nice blouse. 20 minutes, I'll be looking at the clock. Ha! 20 minutes, can I go now, please? Sometimes she'll go into a changing booth and she'll come out and say, oh, darling, look at this dress. What do you think? And I'll look at it and I'll think, it's an ugly dress. It's not a nice dress. But I'll look at her eyes and her eyes will be like. And at that point in time, I have to tell her what she doesn't want to hear. It's an ugly dress. The dress is wearing you. You are not wearing the dress. Sometimes the Holy Spirit comes and he says things to us we don't want to hear. This is why people don't like talking about the Holy Spirit. He never leaves you. But he's always pointing out, hey, come on, let's do better. We can be better than this. We can have a more godly life. We can live for Jesus, not for ourselves. That's why a lot of people don't want to talk about the Holy Spirit. Then, of course, he gives us direction. Acts chapter 13 and verse 2, when we're praying as a leadership team, when we pray and we're asking God, God, what should we do in the church? What do you want? We're all praying. We're saying, God, please give us direction. Please speak to us. Do you believe that God speaks to leaders of churches? If you believe God speaks to leaders of churches, give me a wave. Okay. Well, you need to understand, if you're a Christian, God can speak to you too. Not just leaders of churches. God can speak to you as he speaks to leaders of churches. You are holy. You've been saved, set apart for God. That means God can speak to you as well. Not just to leaders. But again, you've got to be willing to listen. And in the Bible, we find God speaks to leaders in churches and tells them what he wants them to do. They've all got to listen, though. And when we come together as leaders, we sit and we say, okay, God, what are you saying? What do you want from us? And we discern the voice of God together. Now, if God is saying, for example, I want you to bring a cake to church on Sunday. This is an example, okay? I want you to bring a cake to church on Sunday. But Mabel says, I believe God's saying it's a strawberry cake. But Joanna says, no, it's a lemon cake. chocolate cake. But Graham says, no, it's a lemon cake. Somebody is not hearing God. So what they have to do is they have to wait on the Lord until they hear him together. There's a corporate hearing of God, but there's also an individual hearing of God. If I believe God is speaking to me and give me direction, I will go to my leaders and I will say, I believe God is speaking to me. Please, can you pray and test it for me? I need to know I'm hearing God. Because I am a flawed human being. I make mistakes. I get things wrong. Even though I think I'm perfect. I think I'm a perfect husband. But my wife tells me there's room for improvement. So I will go to my leaders and I will say, please help me. Will you pray for me? I feel God is saying this. Why? Because I must be open. I could be wrong. I need to know I'm hearing God. He wants to give me direction. I mustn't be proud. I can hear God. I don't need anybody to tell me if I've heard God. That's pride. That's pride. We must be open to asking our brothers and sisters for help in discerning the voice of God. But the Holy Spirit wants to give you guidance. What else does he want to do? The Holy Spirit wants to give you encouragement. Acts chapter 9 and verse 31. He wants to also, he wants to give you power to be witnesses for Jesus. And we saw that yesterday. I was so proud. Who was it that you said was in there like a short witnessing? Therese, where's Therese? Therese was in there when they were trying to witness. She was right in there witnessing. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, to give you courage, to be a witness for Jesus, to tell people about Jesus. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. It's so hard. 2 weeks ago, no, about four or five days ago, I can't remember. It was about four days ago. I was in Costa Coffee, where I'm to be found. And what I do is I draw pictures of people. I'll sit in Costa Coffee, and I'll say, Lord, who do you want me to speak to today? And if I see somebody, I say, okay, I'll draw a little picture. I'll draw a picture of them. I'll draw it. And then I'll say, God, what do you want me to say to them? And then I'll write down what God wants me to say to them, and then I will give it to them. That's one of the things I do, because I'm not like Mabel. Mabel's so bold and brave. She just walk up to anybody. Charisse is like this as well. Just walk up to anybody and tell them about Jesus. So I have to ask the Holy Spirit to help me to find a way that I can do this. So what I do is I do drawings of people, and I write down what God is saying for them, and I give it to them. And the other day I was in Costa Coffee, and there was a lady, she was sitting so far away outside on the street in Tilehurst. And I was trying to draw, but I didn't think it was very good. I said, oh, maybe I shouldn't give it to her. Anyway, she went to the toilet. And on the way back, I thought, okay, God, she's walking right past me. I need to give this to her. As she was coming back, I picked up the picture and I said, excuse me. And she saw the drawing. I didn't think it was very good. She saw the drawing. She went, oh, because she recognized herself. So it wasn't as bad as I thought. And then I read what God had given me to say to her. And she just welled up with tears. She was so moved, so grateful, so thankful. There was no argument, does God exist? There was just a gratitude to receive that God loves her and that God thinks about her. Every one of us can be witnesses for Jesus. We all have gifts and talents. And yesterday, many of you went out and were out there witnessing for Jesus. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the work of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit brings blessings of fellowship. And most importantly, I think for many of us who have got difficult experiences in our lives, the Holy Spirit brings freedom. Emotional freedom, physical freedom, mental freedom. The Bible says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. It is Satan that conspires to make the church not aware of the power of the Spirit of God in the midst of his church. Because the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, is the one who gives us the power to do the work of God. Without the Spirit of God, it's hard to do his work. How can flesh, how can mere man, how can man do God's work for him? It's not possible. Only the Spirit of God can give us the power we need to do the work of God for him. And so the enemy doesn't like Christians to become aware of the power of the Holy Spirit and what he can do in your life. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I'll tell you one story, and then I'm going to ask, I'm going to hand back to Mabel to just minister. When I was a young minister, I didn't realize I had a wound in my heart. I had an emotional wound. And I didn't realize it. I had no idea I was emotionally hurt. You know, and one day, God speaks to me very often in dreams. Very often God ministers to me in my dreams. He speaks to me in my dreams. He challenges me in my dreams. Maybe because he thinks I'm too busy and I'm not listening when I'm awake. I don't know why. But one day, this is about 20 years ago, maybe even 30 years ago, but a long time ago, I was asleep. And suddenly, the Lord brought me into a vision in my sleep. I was asleep. And he brought this vision to me in a dream. it's a bit complicated, but anyway. And there I was, and I was with my mother. I was with my mom. And I was trying to talk to my mom, but she wasn't listening to me. And I was really hurt in my heart. And then my brother came along and spoke to my mom, and she said, "Oh, yes," and she was listening to him. And I was so hurt. I was so wounded in my heart. And then mom wanted to, then she turned to me and she said, "Yinka, what do you want to say to me?" But I there's nothing I want to say. And then God spoke to me in the dream and said, "Yinka, you need to forgive your mom." I just began to cry in my sleep, in my dream. I was crying and weeping. I woke up crying and weeping because God had revealed a wound in my heart that I didn't know was there. I didn't realize it was there. And God said, "You must forgive your mom." And so I forgave my mom. And I was thinking, but I didn't realize I was hurt in my heart about something that God needed to show me. Has anybody here ever been hurt by their parents? This is really difficult. Culturally, I know this is very difficult. But when we have wounds inside, the Holy Spirit wants to come along and heal our heart so that it's no longer a problem between you and the person that hurt you. This is the freedom the Holy Spirit brings. This is the liberty he brings to all God's children. Let's bow our heads in prayer. I'd like us to just, if you're open to the Holy Spirit coming and filling you afresh, if you're open to the Holy Spirit, you're willing to listen to him, just in your quietly where you are, just tell him this right now. Tell him if you're willing for him to speak to you. If you've been afraid of the Holy Spirit, just ask him to forgive you for being afraid of him, because he is a good father. God the Father only gives us good gifts. So if you've been afraid about the Holy Spirit, ask him to forgive you. for being afraid of him. And finally, before I hand back to Mabel, who might want to maybe pray for one or two other things, if you're open to receiving the Holy Spirit to come in greater measure, a greater measure in your life, you're willing for him to come, to fill you, for his presence, for you to be aware of his presence all the time around you, with you, if you'd like that, then just lift up your hands with your palms upward. Just lift up your hands, and because I want to say a prayer of inviting the Holy Spirit. So if you're open to the Holy Spirit coming and filling you and anointing you, can you just lift up your hands just where you are right now? Just lift up your hands, and I'm going to say a prayer and invite the Holy Spirit just to come and to fill you and to anoint you where you are. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. Father, we thank you for sending us your Spirit. We need you, Lord. And we thank you that you're willing to keep on filling us because we leak. To keep on filling us with your Holy Spirit. We love you, Lord, and we're grateful for the gift that the Father has sent us. More of you. And for that, we're truly thankful.